Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ciao, ciao, ladies.
Ciao, bellas. We are drinking Palomas, and you've got these special glass straws, which I'm going to copy.
A special straw.
I love drink. So I got Joe and the Juice or something, and I took a little extra straw to be sneaky, and I used it to drink my homemade smoothie the next day. And I just felt, I felt like a princess. I felt like a Jeff Bezos. I felt so special and wealthy.
Yes. So what we've both been doing recently is getting so, I don't know if you guys are into like the
Can I put
way.
This on your book?
Put it on this?
Okay.
Maybe? Oh, yeah. Wait. No, there's these. These.
Aren't you worried about them getting...
Using them? Oh, who cares? Sorry, ASMR girlies. I stole some...
No, don't you want to keep them forever?
Oh, who cares?
Okay.
I stole... What are they called? Drink...
Coasters
from Sunset Tower Hotel when I was drunk in LA. And I also stole napkins and shoved them up my boobs.
I love like a little memento.
Mm.
You're going to sessions...
I like to steal from restaurants.
Yeah, you're going to Sessions Art Club tonight. And they have a really beautiful menu. And I like, all the waiters are hot, I have to warn you.
I quite like, as in the men or women, just everyone.
Everyone. But the men especially.
Abercrombie and Fitch vibes?
Like, but like really hot, like our hot, like London.
Sexy.
Charmy. Hammer.
We went to an event last night. Charmy Hammer. We went to an event last night and I said to Grace, it makes me feel powerful and strong when events only hire hot young male waiters.
Yes.
Because the tables are flipped.
It makes me feel
like get me my drink, you little bitch.
Yeah, it makes me feel like a powerful man.
Yeah.
We'll get to this when we talk about the cheating scandals, but I'm just like, now that women are stepping into being as like these things that men used to, I feel like it's really testing us.
Yes.
Because we're always like, we wouldn't do that, you know, like we wouldn't objectify young hot men to serve us wine. And of course we love it.
Well, I've been objectifying Romeo Beckham since he was about 12. So
you're cancelled.
Okay, back to the smoothie chat. I love that our podcast has kind of transitioned into being like a lot of chat about food, and I like that the girlies food and drink, and I like that the girlies embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, yes, we're both into smoothies now, which I used to think were really lame and I didn't like them. And now I've been making a smoothie bowl every morning. And yet these straws, these glass straws.
Where are they? From where did they come?
Amazon, of course.
They're so great.
I actually smashed one on the ground the other day and it was depressing.
That's potentially dangerous.
Yeah, it was dangerous for my poor little cat. I was like, get your little paws out of here. But yeah, I ordered them off Amazon and then I bought smoothie. I need to show you these little lame smoothie takeaway cups. And in the morning, if I'm going to Pilates or if I'm going to One Rebel, which I don't do very often, but One Rebel, like, especially, they offer you smoothies when you leave with protein in them.
Really?
Oh, you have to pay. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Like, as in they make smoothies there. Yes. And before you go into the class, you can order your smoothies so that when you leave, you can just grab it. It's very cute. But what I do is I fuck the system and I make my smoothie at home with my protein powder and take it with my little glass straw. And I leave One Rebel, put my little glass straw in and walk home along the canals with my smoothie.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
A beautiful morning.
And then I've started making smoothie bowls, which is basically when I just like shake my Nutribullet like crazy and don't put enough liquid in it so it goes.
I'm so jealous. You have a Nutribullet.
Nutribullets aren't actually very good for making smoothies. I really want a Vitamix. That's what all the that's what everyone in LA has. They're those really good blenders.
And they're really expensive.
They're quite expensive.
Yeah.
I want one.
A girl I used to work with got a Thermomix and it was literally like $2,000, but it does literally everything. And I feel like it's a test of, that was when I was like 22. She got the Thermomix. And I was like, that is literally crazy. I can't get my head around this. And now yes. As I'm like approaching 30, I'm like, a bargain.
Give me that.
Bread, yes. Can bake a cookie, can make a smoothie, can like roll pasta.
Yes. So Nutribullets aren't very good for making really nice, thick, acai bowl vibe things. So what I do instead is I put not enough liquid in and it starts going crazy and kind of spluttering around, and I shake the whole thing while it's on.
Oh.
Our neighbor hates me. And then open up, pour it into my bowl, and put some granola over it with berries.
Do you make homemade granola? That's like
no,
my
fuck
next.
No,
it's very possible.
I know,
but I hate all granolas because of my previously mentioned hatred for raisins.
Have you tried the Deliciously Ella nutty granola?
No.
It's really, really special.
I love Ella. Who is she?
I've followed Ella for so long.
Ella of Deliciously Ella fame.
She's just this posh.
She did have a
English woman, of course.
Of course. Ella Delicious.
Actually, I think her story, she has one of those stories that every wellness person has, where she said she got allegedly, she got really sick when she was younger and then healed her body through food and nutrition. And then I got really obsessed with her at one point in my life, had her app.
She is so hot.
I know, she's really
hot. She's too hot to also be this good at making healthy snacks.
I know. And she has a shop in somewhere in the city. And when I first moved to London, I made my ex-boyfriend drive me to the shop.
Did you?
So that I could go and eat some of her delicious healthy snacks. And the FPOS machine was broken and I had no cash, so we had to leave. And then we got a fine for driving in the city because we didn't know.
That's a big blow up if I ever heard one waiting to happen.
So yeah. Can't remember why we're talking about that, but I would love to tell you about a very swift turn of topics from wholesome and happy to depraved and sad. I've started watching Dope Sick.
I've heard so much about Dope Sick. All good things.
Yes. So it's got gorgeous, gorgeous Caitlin Dever.
She is. I have such a soft spot for her.
I know. She's such a great actress.
I wish her multiple Oscars.
Me too. So she's in it. I actually don't know who else is in it. But basically it's about the Oxycontin. Why is that word not feeling
I know.
A word
I
to
feel
me?
Like I've said it a million times before and now I can't. Oxycontin.
Oxycontin epidemic, and how the drug got created in the first place. And it's just absolutely wild. It makes you very sad that we live in a place called Earth,
a planet
where
we
are just consumed by money and greed. And it's just, it's crazy because basically it was in 1994 or 1995 when they began creating it, the Sackler Company.
Mm.
And the Sacklers are like, if the Sacklers are, they say in the show, the most philanthropic family in the world, because all they do is donate money to all these charities and all these organizations while at the same time, like, creating these drugs that are killing so many people. And now places like the Tate and stuff have stopped accepting money from them.
Yeah, the New Yorker did a really, really long piece about the Sackler family and the opioid epidemic a couple of years ago that I actually was so gripped by that I read. It's like one of those 45-minute reads. But it was so fascinating because they have basically they've used philanthropy to like wipe themselves off the internet, basically. Like most people don't even know what they look like who the actual members of the family are, what they actually do. But they have all these weird little, wings named after them at hospitals and art galleries. And what they've done is so evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so mm-hmm. unbelievably evil.
Yeah. So that's why this show is so great, because it's like actually shining a light on how absolutely fucked up it was. But basically what they did was they created Oxy, which is an opioid, and they already had an opioid epidemic in here we go again. They already had an opioid epidemic in America before that. So people knew opioids were really addictive. But what they did was somehow get the FDA to approve through like falsifying studies and etc. That less than 1% of people get addicted. So they were basically saying it wasn't an addictive drug when it was highly, highly addictive. They were sending their like sales reps out to go and woo doctors and sending doctors to all these conventions. They had this like really esteemed medical doctor guy who was like really famous speak at all of their kind of like getaways where they'd send all these doctors and pay for everything and like woo them. And he was fucked as well. Like he was just corrupt.
I remember reading as well that they like published why America, like the American total free capitalism is such a nightmare. They printed the medical journals like themselves, like Vanity Publishing, with the medical information that doctors get about the latest medicine. They printed them and then put their own ads in them and their own interviews about their... It's like us creating a magazine called like Vogue, Miss Vogue, and being like, after work, like they filled it basically with stuff that... So doctors thought they were getting an objective medical journal and it was literally paid publishing.
Yeah.
And that's legal for some reason.
Yeah, and they also, you know, the pain charts that are in like every hospital where it's got like smiley faces through to sad faces, and it's like how high is your pain threshold on a scale of 1 to 10? They created that. Like they basically created this entire economy around pain.
Ugh.
Like in so many different ways it's fucked. There was in all these medical schools around the country were quoting this study that was about opioids. I think it was the one, it might have even been, oh my God, it was the 1% thing. The 1% study that opioids are, that this opioid is less addictive or that opioids aren't addictive was taken from like a medical journal, a study cited in a medical journal in 1980 or something. And then these police who were looking into it, like, what are they called? When they're like, they were like investigating, they were investigating the Sacklers and Oxy and the claims, and they were looking into it, and they finally found where this study was that had been cited everywhere and was like the entire backbone of Oxy's being sold. And it wasn't a study. It was a letter to the editor that someone had written in at the start saying, in a study I conducted in my hospital of monitored patients, like, less than 1% were addicted, but it's people who are monitored in a hospital setting. So it wasn't even
It was probably written by like...
And it was just a guy.
No, but it was like probably written by some, like their secretary or something writing a fake letter.
No, yeah. So like this guy didn't even know that his letter was being cited in like medical journals all around the country and taught at medical schools.
Oh my God.
Because no one could find the fucking study because the study didn't exist. It's so wild. And like I'm still halfway through, but like the FDA and stuff was obviously like just fucked, and everyone was getting paid off. But yeah, Caitlin Dever is like absolutely amazing in it so far. And it's one of those watches that's just very harrowing, but very interesting. And like,
yeah,
it's also crazy because it just shows you, I know that addiction is obviously just, it is such a sickness, but it's like when you watch this, it's like people who get in a car crash people of any kind of addiction is like very, very sad and horrible, but it's so crazy to watch like someone getting in a car crash and breaking their arm and then going to a hospital and getting prescribed by doctors something to help their pain that they then get addicted to and then they're still treated like the scum of the earth because of their addiction. Like the parents of are trying to kick them out of the house and say that they hate them and because these people are addicted and can't get clean. And it's just like, it's so insane the way we treat people.
Yeah, it's fucked. I've had Oxy before.
Yeah, I love that little tidbit. Grace just told me that before. She was like, when I did Oxy.
Yeah, I had a sinus surgery and they gave me Oxy before. I can't remember if it was before. I think it was before I went under, but I can hear like medical people maybe saying that's not right. I had Oxy at some point during the surgery and it is the most amazing I've ever felt in my entire life.
Really?
Ever. Yeah. Like, noticeably.
People were saying in the forums online, because the internet was kind of just happening at the same time, and they were on these forums saying it was better than like heroin and better than coke, and it was really easy to like rub the outsides of the pill off so that you could crush it up and snort it.
Yeah.
And like get past the time, because the time release of the painkiller is supposed to last for 12 hours, but it wasn't even lasting for 12 hours. And so they were just telling people to double the dose. It's like absolutely insane. So
nuts. And like you say, if we were in America, I would have had this like totally banal sinus surgery, been given it to deal with the pain from the surgery, and then being prescribed it to take at home. And then if I was like, I'm still in pain 2 weeks later, being prescribed to take it again. And then after a month, you're fucked. Like you're done for life. You're addicted forever.
Yes.
And you've done. Again, it's not saying that like people who are addicted to other substances have done something wrong, but that's like.
It was even making me.
Yeah.
As I was watching it, it was making me just be like, I was just like, I feel so thankful that that hasn't happened, because it's just, we are just like.
It's just good luck.
Yeah, it's just literally good luck. It's literally good luck. And I was also like, oh my God, I can't even believe people take drugs recreationally. Like when we could be. I mean, obviously the drugs, my boyfriend was like, the drugs that people take recreationally aren't actually that addictive. Like I know that people are addicted to coke, but like I don't know anyone. Like I'm just like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like people take coke all the time and they don't get addicted in this in the same way. But I am just like, it's so crazy that we would just go out and like toggle with that.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
With fate. Yeah, it's insane. I was on Tramadol.
Yeah.
When
love a bit of Tramadol
is so crazy good. Yeah. And I had like I remember the people pull out a pull quote from this. If we were celebrities, that would be like the headlines. Hailey Bieber's like, I know there's going to be headlines about this tomorrow. But like, yeah, when I was in hospital, I had a kidney infection. I went out the night before and had like, Tom, my friend, put, I think I've already said this on the pod before, but he sliced together the picture of me from the night before at 4 a.m. with 7 Red Bull vodkas in my hand.
Oh my God.
And then the next day in hospital visiting me.
I got a kidney infection because I got a UTI and didn't know what it was. So it spread to my kidneys and I ended up in hospital.
I think that happens quite a lot. It's crazy. And yeah, they gave me Tramadol. And I remember being like literally, I was like being a weird addict where I was like, they would give me it. And then I was like, I just want more. I just like love this feeling so much. So I was like telling the nurse I needed more. And then I was hiding it in my handbag because I was like, I'm gonna take this home with me. And then in the night when I would wake up, I would be like, I need more, and I would like get out my stash from my handbag and take it. That's not even Oxy.
I feel like that about Pilexia actually, which I think is even further down than Tramadol, which I got after my surgery. I just wanted to keep taking it for like weeks and weeks after, even though I felt okay.
Because
it's no pain. It's a very attractive prospect.
So yeah, Dopesick is very good. Would highly recommend.
A great recommendation. Can I just say a very quick thing on that thing you just said about the pain scale in hospitals? I just found out in a podcast that the food pyramid that we all grew up seeing, I don't know if it's the same in Australia or New Zealand, but in the US, it is created by the like American Diabetes Association. And they're a like for-profit association, and their two biggest donors are Cadbury and Coke. So when it says on the food pyramid, like the smallest amount up the top is sugar, they say you should have 10 grams of sugar a day. And doctors are like, no, you, like you should have no sugar. Like it's, you know, you're going to have sugars and stuff. But in terms of telling people
to like to,
how
to
much get. They should have, you shouldn't be like, well, for a healthy diet, you should have like a couple of chocolate bars a day or like some donuts. Like they're like, you should tell people they don't need it at all. But if they have it in moderation.
Oh my God.
But they like inform the way everyone decides what to eat.
Yeah.
Even putting all the like grains with all the bread at the bottom, like all that stuff is, everything's corrupt.
Yeah. Joe Holder, my guru, said on a podcast or something the other day, I just like love the way he critically thinks and I just want to implement that more in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But he just was speaking on, what's that stupid podcast called? How Long Gone? With those two guys who I was convinced couldn't be straight, but apparently they are. they were saying like, how do you just know so much about everything? And he was just like, I want to be informed about what's happening in the world around me. And B, like, just, he was just like, follow the money for everything.
Everything.
Like even those documentaries you watch about like Seaspiracy or whatever, like tracking where the money's coming from with like why they lie to us about how many dolphins are fucking caught and killed in bycatch and saying that it's dolphin safe when it's not because it's like money and like blah, blah, blah. And then like, or even just like Cowspiracy where they won't say anything about meat because about meat's impact on the environment because all of the donors are like the meat companies, etc. But then also you can like follow it back even further where it's just like even those documentaries are like, it's just crazy.
It is absolutely insane. It's like terrifying. There was even a TikTok that was going around, which like completely freaked me out, where it was this woman being like, some fucking stupid like TikTok being like, oh, you shouldn't eat those, they're bad for you. And she's like, what do you mean bad? Is there toxic poison on it? Is there blah, blah on it? And she's like, no, it's unhealthy. And then the other one's like, you're making judgment choices about my food again, aren't you? And everyone just thought it was this like jada, but nice message about like diet culture. And it was fucking sponsored by a sugar company.
Oh my God.
And they're like hijacking the body positivity and like health movement to be to like, basically you say you can't tell people that sugary food is bad for you because that's judgmental.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
This is what we were saying about Kanye, actually.
Kanye?
Well, like just how I think like the only good point Kanye seems to have made in the last few days, and just like a quick moment to condemn his horrible anti-Semitism, because I feel like it's like one of the prejudices that people seem to get like less up in arms about for some reason, which is fucked. But he wrote in one of his like multiple in like crazy posts just about how like we should be suspicious of how quickly all these companies have got on board with like Black Lives Matter and Pride and body positivity. Like there's always no movement that's meant to like question the structures of society should be embraced by governments and corporations.
Yeah, like no revolution.
Yeah. So it's like this tempered down, easily digestible.
My boyfriend literally said the thing about Kanye is every fourth thing he says makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not going to say every fourth thing because he said like, 40th. but yes, like his comments about Black Lives Matter, I like do understand for sure. Like some of his comments about how it's just like how he calls it a sham and things like that. It's like what actual change has really tangibly happened from that. I understand like, I don't know. I think that's the thing with the White Lives Matter thing is it could have actually facilitated conversation and been a really smart thing if he hadn't taken it like that extra step further. But yeah, I was even just having a conversation with someone on the weekend and they were just like, it's just, you know, in a lot of places online and even like Black academics as well have said this, where they've just been like, the way the fashion industry condemned what the White Lives Matter thing so vehemently.
Vehemently.
When they like uphold white supremacy in every other way was like just, I don't know. But I was also like, I don't know what else we're supposed to do. But
I know. It's hard, isn't it? But it is interesting. I think that's such a good point. Like, the brand has to do is like post a slogan like BLM or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then you're just kind of like, okay, it can't be very effective.
Like the Black Squares thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So we both just watched the trailer for Bones and All.
Looks so fucking good.
Looks so good. So this is Timothy Chalamet and Taylor Russell's new film.
How do we say Luca's name? Luca, I've never been able to say it. Guadagnino. Of Call Me By Your Name fame, of Suspiria fame, of A Bigger Splash fame.
Is what the director?
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Yeah. So I had no idea really about what this film was about, but it looks like two really, really in love, a really, really in love young couple, Taylor Russell and Timothée Chalamet, two very hot, hot, hot people mm-hmm. who, according to Dumois, were bussing.
I watched the trailer and I was like, there's just no planet like where these two people haven't bussed in real life.
Yes. Yeah. I love as well so much because it's like so many people must bus that we never find out about.
I think that too.
Yeah, for sure.
The biggest ones are the ones
we don't know.
We've never found out about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100
So yeah, those two sexy people are a young couple. I think he's a drifter or whatever, and they meet and then fall in love, and it appears that he's a murderer and keeps murdering all these people, but she's just madly in love with him. And I'm like, that is a fucking great story.
It's relatable.
Yeah, but
Grace,
I'm just like,
O'Neill at 19, yes.
Yes.
You would have jumped in that car.
Same. Yeah, had a little... But I am like, if you were really, really like head over heels madly in, I don't know, what would you do if Zach just told you he murdered someone?
I mean, at this point.
Throw his ass in jail?
Yeah, it would be scary. But when you're like, okay, maybe we can unpack that quickly. Like, what was it about being young? Is it like having a death wish or like, I just wanted something like that to happen to me. I was like desperate for something dramatic and insane and crazy to like come along and sweep me up. Like I was only attracted to like boys and men that were insane and like incapable of like basic human affection and emotion. Mm. Is that,
it's our daddy issues?
It can't just be daddy issues. Yeah. Maybe it is.
I don't know.
I think when you're young, your brain's like half formed.
Yeah.
You find romantic stuff like so romantic.
Yeah, I think it's the tragedy element of it, or the you like, you're attracted to the drama because it makes you feel, yeah. I dated this boy called Ryan who, no shit, had like, I would say, upwards of 7 other full-time girlfriends. It was crazy.
What's that guy called him? Kim Kardashian's podcast.
What?
Kim Kardashian's podcast.
Oh yeah, Keith.
Keith, a modern day Keith.
Yeah, literally. And he told one of them, so he was dating this other girl from my school, can't remember her name, and then she was like trying to talk to me about how he wasn't kissing, and I was like, stop, he's like literally my boyfriend too. And
very like ahead of your time, ethical, non-monogamy.
Was not ethical, unethical, I had no non-monogamy. Fucking idea. And he told one of them that, he told her that the whole weekend that he was with me, because he spent the whole weekend with me, and I was also just, I was like 17, and it was like, just don't be hanging out with foul boys all weekend. I'm so grateful and blessed that I'm sitting across from you today. Life could have just gone in such a different way.
I agree.
And he told her that he was in prison, in jail. He told her he was in jail from Friday to Monday when he was just hanging out with me, because that's why he wasn't.
He knew his audience. He knew his target audience.
That's why he wasn't texting her back.
Like, oh my God. So hot.
Yeah.
I guess we had like no conception of like the long term. Like your brain can only think like the next day or the next minute or something.
Yeah.
It's so cute how in love you are when you're a teenager.
I know. It's like quite crazy though. It's so all consuming. It's very distracting. Distracts from everything. I used to write down every text message that my ex-boyfriend would send me. Like That's write it cute. Down on paper. That's deranged.
I remember I went away... This story is like insane. I went on this school trip. I made a short film about my teacher.
We're unpacking some trauma here.
Yes, for a competition at my like high school that I was moved to because I was naughty. And I got like into the film department. This is like a movie with like Hilary Swank waiting to happen. And then I made a short film about my teacher, and it won this like statewide competition, and me and her had to go on a boat, like a tall ship, for 7 days as like a character building thing with all these other like students and teachers.
What?
It was so crazy. I like, and I had to, it was like an old-fashioned 1800s boat, and we had to like...
But wait, you did it about your teacher who was a woman who you weren't in love with?
No, I definitely wasn't in love with her. She was just like a kind lady.
Okay, that's cute.
I didn't just do it off my own volition. Like, it was a competition.
Yeah, I thought the story was about when you were like madly in love as a kid.
With my own teacher.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was madly in love with my high school boyfriend, and I was away for like 5 days on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote each other like 15 letters mm-hmm. to read morning, afternoon, and lunch every single day. Like, it was like insane when I think about it. And I sat and wrote them like it was
yes.
like a novel.
I will never forget my stepmom screaming at me because I went away for Christmas with her family. She was honestly like literally younger than I am now. She had this stepdaughter who was like 13. And she was screaming at me because I spent the entire Christmas day on my phone texting Ryan. This boy, I don't even understand how that boy dealt with having 7 different girlfriends and texting them nonstop.
If they want to, they can do
anything. They can do it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They can pay the attention necessary.
They can be like a CEO.
Yeah, and she was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
That's a very good question.
The entire Christmas day, all you've done is be on your phone. And I was like in this haze of like happiness and love that I didn't even know that I was being really rude and just this depraved teenager.
I loved being that age, just being so stupid.
Yeah.
Because you had literally a single brain cell.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's funny when people... I was having, like, a conversation with my boyfriend the other day, and I can't remember... He's, like, such a, like, paedophile apologist. Because, like, I can't remember what we were talking about. But it was, like, similar vibe to, like, essentially saying that... He was basically saying that he hates it when people don't give, like, young people agency. And I was, like, yes, I understand that. But I was also, like... I think we're somehow talking about someone who was 18. I can't remember what the fucking story was. Mm-hmm. Someone who was 18 who was, or maybe it was me, and I was dating like an older guy or something.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I look back now and I find that like really disgusting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was just kind of being like, yeah, but you know, like you had agency, like you made those decisions, like right. And I'm just like, yeah, but you are just very young. Like you just don't actually, you're not making decisions as a fully formed adult. And he was like, you are an adult. And I was like, your prefrontal cortex doesn't stop developing till you're 25, which I know because that's when Leonardo DiCaprio dumps his girlfriends.
Exactly.
Celebrity gossip comes in handy.
Your like brain isn't developed. You are so unworldly.
Yeah. You have no fucking idea.
And I think the reason, I do think there's exceptions, obviously not like illegal underage exceptions, but I think there are circumstances where someone can be like 19, 20, 21, whatever, and someone who's like in their late 20s, early 30s, and it's just really not the big deal that we like to make it out to be.
Yeah.
But I also think that I think it all just comes rushing home when you hang out with an actual 18-year-old. You know what I mean? You hang out with an 18-year-old, they are like unbearable to hang out with.
Mm.
Like what they talk about, what they find interesting, their view of the world, their perceptions, their things.
Yeah, you've like nothing in common.
You have nothing in common with them.
So you're an 18-year-old and you're like a 34-year-old man or like, it's like older than us now.
If I sit down with an 18-year-old girl now, I would like probably like love her, like think she's like an amazing, you know, young woman with lots of potential, but I would like never opt to spend time with her probably.
Yeah.
And if I did, it would be, like, weird. So, like, the idea that the person you want to spend all your time with is someone like that is just a sign that you need to be around someone that finds you interesting because people of your age group don't.
Facts. And spitting facts.
That's the tea or whatever the fuck people say. That's on that.
How's it? My name is Lassetti. I'm a tour leader with Explore. Come on, let me show you something. Oh, careful. Can you see it? Oh, trust me. It can see you. There, between the trees. It's not every day you get to see a rhino on a walk. I guess not everyone is taken to the right places, but you will be if you explore. For global adventures, search exploreworldwide.com and don't just travel. Explore.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Thank you.
Okay, what else are we talking about? I feel like we should talk about Try Guys.
I know, we need to talk about Try Guys because until like 5 minutes ago, obviously I'd seen the headlines and stuff and I was like, I just cannot care about this. I just like, A, had never heard of them before. B was just like, just, okay, so a guy's hooked up with his colleague, but then started watching their apology video, which is the first time I've ever seen these men in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of them. I put a screenshot on our doc. And then they say...
Like a real like ragtag little crew.
I know. I was like, who are these men?
They look so serious. The one on the left is like so fruity in his like sexy little vest.
The one on the left I would bust.
Yeah. It goes like, yes.
No.
No.
Stop.
And Ned,
definitely not.
Ned, now a maybe because we know he has game.
I need to see what Ned looks like.
Ned, just honestly, Ned's probably the hottest, but he looks like a Queer Eye cast member, which is throwing me off.
Ned, oh my God, has a net worth of around 10 million.
What?
Jesus. So, yeah, these try... Okay, wait. This guy doesn't look as hot in other clips.
He looks like a different person in, I think, every single picture.
Okay, so only would bus the guy on the left specifically in their What Happened apology video on YouTube. He doesn't look good in other places.
Okay, yeah. It's his, like, sexy arms.
It's what he's wearing.
A little vest.
Yes, his little vest and his silver necklace.
Okay, so what I find interesting about this story, firstly... is that it's like permeate, like SNL did a sketch about it, which I know SNL is not very culturally relevant anymore, but like for something to go from niche internet drama to like that level of mainstream to the point where we've all for some reason heard about it, I think is interesting.
Yes.
And then it's also interesting because it's one of those scandals where when you read into it, you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's so mild.
Wait, give a backstory.
So the Try Guys... started on BuzzFeed and like BuzzFeed heyday when they would do those like dumb
quizzes.
videos.
I loved the quizzes.
And they built up a bit of a following.
The first media influencers?
Yeah, like early OG influencers left and started their YouTube account and it just sounds like the depths of hell. It's like four men experience labor pains for 14 hours or like
what?
These men try on women's underwear for the day. Like, but not seedy, like wholesome, funny, like we did it and it was actually really hard and like just.
Like Hamish and Andy.
Yeah, kind of like less funny Hamish and Andy.
I love Hamish and Andy, that's same. No shade.
Yeah, like less funny.
When they did when they used to do the like, they used to run up behind people. And like,
my favorite one was the one they did where they'd like sit in the toilet and listen if someone washed their hands and if they didn't, a mob would come out and be like, didn't wash your hands.
Oh my God.
So a simpler time.
Yes.
Anyway, so they're like very wholesome and apparently Ned has built a reputation for being this like family man, always posting about his wife and children and like a huge, I think the best comparison I can give is like John Mulaney.
I was literally just thinking about that little scam.
Where people like him because he seems like such a nice guy.
Yes.
And then he was like photographed or videoed having a little kiss with one of their like younger employees. Which by younger, I don't mean like young. I just mean like a junior employee.
And then he's married.
And he's married with two young kids. And then it went all over TikTok and then all over Reddit. I actually saw it on TikTok when it happened. And I was like, what is this? Like, get away. And people being like, please don't say it's true. So I think people are very invested in his marriage. And then he had to come out and say, yes, it's true. I was / am having an affair. And then... the other Try Guys did this gnarly video where they're like, we have cut ties with Ned. Ned is not allowed in the building. Ned is being edited out of all
Ned
the videos.
Is, like,
Ned
fully is, like, fired from our company. And, yeah, they're editing him out. They're going back through the archives and editing Ned out of content. Like, that's – I feel like that's unnecessary behavior.
That's too far, yeah.
That's crazy.
If I had an affair –
I'd edit out your voice out of every podcast episode.
Would you go
episode?
Back and edit out so it's just you talking then silence and you talking then silence? Yes.
Yeah.
I would like that. It feels silly to me.
Of course. It's so silly.
especially because they phrased it as like a consensual extramarital relationship, like some weird phrasing.
Wait, what do you mean? As in like the wife knew? No.
As in like he entered into like a consensual relationship with this other person. You know, it's not like he hit on a junior employee at a party and she was uncomfortable I don't know, she was underage. Like it was a very, and it does make you kind of wonder, like, I think everyone's thinking about it because of the Adam Levine stuff, which happened so recently, which is just like, I don't know. Is it anyone's business?
yeah. Or should you be fired for cheating? It's quite crazy. I think it's such a funny thing because, for example, like it's making me think about like politicians and the way, because what they do and what these guys are doing is like selling us on them as people and making us believe in them as people and their brand. And then it's kind of interesting how much these guys actually say in this video, we built a brand, rah, rah, rah. They're being very honest about like the fact that they're like capitalizing on this thing that they've created. Which is like another interesting thing with like celebrity culture and the way we are so parasocial and it's kind of weird and unhealthy. We shouldn't care about these things because it has like absolutely nothing to do with us. I think when it comes to like, I don't know, politicians, but even with like politicians and stuff, it's just like, it doesn't mean you don't care about climate change if you're also cheating on your wife.
Yes. And it's also like, there's this expectation, like I was thinking about in the context of this, would even like revise. I know we were very like funny and jokey about the Bahati Prince Louis Adam Levine thing, but it's just like, when I think back on it now, I'm like, there's every chance that they have like a really open, like forward thinking, ethical, non-monogamous relationship where like she knows all of this stuff and is totally fine with it and does it herself. And that's just no one's business to say, but she's being framed in the media as like,
poor her,
this poor humiliated woman. And to undo that narrative, she has to come out and reveal like very intimate details about her marriage, you know? And it's like this like parasocial celebrity thing. It's funny that we seem to have come so far in terms of as the culture seems to understand like the nuances of stuff like non-monogamy and Esther Perel and talking about, I don't know. All of those things, and yet we assume from these like tiny snippets, like an Instagram screenshot or like a blurry photo, that we understand the full spectrum of someone's marriage or relationship. It is like kind of wild.
Yeah, or just even kind of taking it further out, like the fact that we're so scandalized by cheating in the first place. So The Cut did an article about like why are we still so scandalized by cheating. And basically what it was saying was just like, yeah, A, we've come so far with the ethical non-monogamy conversation and just kind of like apparently just, yeah, way more open about like why people cheat and how cheating happens. But also it's just like according to one 2021 survey, a little more than 46% of all respondents in a monogamous relationship admitted to cheating. Higher estimates find that up to 68% of women and 75% of men have cheated. And more recent research suggests that men and women do so at similar rates. So it's like we're looking at Adam Levine. We're looking at the Try Guys person. And, you know, one of them's getting completely slandered online for being very, very, very fucking bad at sexting. The other one's being fired and edited out of all...
His entire career.
His entire, like, lame career. And... it's just like when up to 75% of us have done so ourselves, and like this whole thing about just pointing blame and wanting to, yeah, good and bad morals, and you know, looking at this man as if he's like the scum of the earth,
yeah,
for cheating on someone when basically everyone has cheated on someone.
Totally, and I also just think I think it's so rough that if you're like, have a YouTube channel, you literally just cannot be in public without fear of someone taking a photo of you doing something. Like this constant surveillance culture now. You know what I mean? It's just so crazy. Like even Brad and Angelina getting caught out as a couple, apparently it was organized by Angelina. Like there were no photos of them before that because that was just like a different era of thing. Whereas now you can just be like pretty much a regular person. And a random person can like ruin your entire career and your livelihood and potentially your marriage, your life by taking a photo of you on the street, like I think that's pretty fucked up as well.
Same.
Like, there's just no sense of, like, privacy anymore, which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is interesting as well because it's, like, making
men accountable.
Yeah, but, like, making a career and a brand out of your marriage and then doing that is like, an interesting question when it comes to should you still have a career afterwards, you know?
It's interesting because it's like, I agree, I think, because I'm someone, like, we're both people that don't really share our relationships. I know we're talking on such a micro level with ourselves, but I would just say, like, say I put, like, a few pictures up of Zach on Instagram or whatever, and then something, like, happened where one of us was unfaithful or something and someone took a photo. Like, I would just find it such an invasion for someone to, like, get involved in my private life because I have a podcast and have posted that I have a partner a few times, which I know this guy did more than that. Like, he actively engaged in this persona. But I'm like, I don't think he probably sitting there now would feel as if he'd been duplicitous because he'd set up his whole persona about being a husband. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd just be like, I have a job as a YouTuber and I talk about my wife because I have a wife and we were going through a hard patch. So I, whatever, you know, we like don't know the details. So it feels a bit rough. But at the same time, I agree that like these guys, it always just seems to be men, have just act so audaciously.
Women are smarter. Women are more careful. You'll never see us cheating in public, you fucking idiots.
And also that I think the Adam Levine thing, I think this the Cut article was right. People were more responding to than the fact that he cheated, like the cringiness and the audaciousness of doing it off his own account so blatantly to like random IG models. You know what I mean? Like it was like there was an arrogance about it that was really off-putting.
Yes. Yeah. I think the whole thing that we still struggle with so much as a culture, and like I'm very, very guilty of this as well. This is kind of going off topic, but it's just like the way we see celebrities as people instead of brands and corporations is just such, such a like damaging thing to the whole way we're trying to like untangle capitalism and like white supremacy and just all these different things. It's just the way it's like, and like we feed into it so much by like what we talk about and you know. And I was like saying, me and my boyfriend were speaking about this the other day, and I think it like stemmed off the back of a Kanye conversation where I was just like, yeah, but when we talk about like Meghan Markle or whatever, we're like joking about it. We're not very seriously like consumed by what she's doing and reading all the papers and buying all the magazines about what these people are doing. And he was just like, you're just still feeding like the machine of it all. And like the way celebrities position themselves as being relate. Basically, he was like trying to use Beyonce as an example. And I was like, she's a bad example because Beyonce is like the biggest, like as in when you look at Beyonce, you see a brand. Like it's like she is
she's like Coca-Cola or all
that. Yeah, she is just like, she doesn't do interviews. She is just such a machine brand. But I was like, someone like Rihanna is so much better at like coming across as relatable and coming across as like this person that we all know and love when it's just like, that's just like, I don't know. It's just like a confusing thing. And I think this parasocial like cheating thing and like things like Dumois don't help at all. And like social media and the way everyone just seems relatable. We're just like feeding this crazy machine.
100%. I think it's, yeah, it's really hard. Cause like you say, people benefit so much off that. We talked about this with John Mulaney. Like people benefit so much of like the parasocial thing is how they get their entire careers. So you can't really say it's fine 90% of the time, and then when it doesn't work out for them, it's no longer fine. But I do think now like the lines between private and public life, even with like massive celebrities, up until very recent, those lines were still so like they were such distinct things, private and public life. Like some actively chose to hand over their private life to the public, where they controlled it, like the Kardashians. Even then, their private life is actually really guarded from us. Like everything we see, they have stage managed how we've seen it and blah, blah, blah. And they're giving things away because that's how they're making money. But like, I do feel like nowadays with, just how easy everyone is with an iPhone and Dumois and everything, the line is just getting blurred to the point where you're kind of like, is there some sort of ethical responsibility where there is stuff we shouldn't share? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Very interesting. Who would have thought we'd be talking about the Try Guys? SNL did like a really lame skit.
Did they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Okay, before we wrap up, I want to talk to you about this other thing that I've been getting interested in recently, and which is I read a Days piece basically, which is, can you meditate your way to clear skin? And then I started looking into psychodermatology, which is a growing kind of, it's like a buzzword in beauty, but also a growing sector of like the beauty industry and dermatologists who are studying the skin-brain connection. And basically my skin is fucked right now. It's like breaking out everywhere after being perfect for so long. And I thought I'd fixed it with Tret and was so happy. And then I realized that it makes complete sense. I'm very like stressed at the moment, girlies. And my stress has always manifested very physically, like my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And just physically in a way that when I was talking to my psychologist, when I was going through the Great Depression, mm-hmm. she was literally like, you are a case study for the book, The Body Keeps the Score. Mm-hmm. The way like your stress just shows so physically with like migraines, my eye literally going blind, cysts, very sexy, pimples, all these things. And then when I was reading this piece, I was like, oh my God, it makes complete sense. My skin, and especially around my chin, which is like a hormonal area, is breaking out.
Mm.
Basically, on a most basic level, the skin, mind-skin connection, brain-skin connection, is proven on like biochemistry, and essentially chronic stress activates the sympathetic nervous system, which sets off surges in stress hormones like cortisol and the subsequent breakdowns of tissues such as collagen, which is very, very bad. We want all the collagen we can get. So cortisol stimulates the overproduction of sebum, the oil that is implicated in acne. So it's like if you are stressed, cortisol is literally making you break out because it's activating your body's producing too much oil, which comes out on your skin. And any of the big four skin conditions, which are acne, eczema, rosacea. Why can't I say any word today? Sorry, no, I'm okay. Quite hungover. Rosacea and psoriasis can be impacted due to this.
It's crazy. I mean, it does 100% make sense. Like anecdotally, yes. I always feel like I get pimples when I'm stressed. But that, the degree of that connection is so fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is another, just to get back on our like anti-capitalism bullshit. It's like information that is not readily available to us intentionally, because if we understood that we could like, I don't know. The world wants us to be stressed. The world wants us to be working. The world wants us to be anxious. The world wants us to be looking for like quick fix cures to get things like topical treatments mm-hmm. and skincare and facials.
Mm-hmm. Which just fixes
the symptoms.
The symptoms, yeah. Not the problem.
Yes.
It's like therapy. And therapy can literally help this because it de-stresses you. I'm quite late to the game, but I've been getting obsessed with Jessica DeFino, and she is a former woman who became a beauty editor and then quit the beauty industry because she realized that everything was fake and what they were selling was like absolute bullshit. And she is really iconic. So she writes a lot about how like the whole beauty industry is built on like white supremacy and capitalism and just all these things.
Wow.
And she was on, we got recommended it by quite a few girlies. She was on Pandora Sykes's podcast, Doing It Right.
Oh.
And she speaks, I think I sent you a screenshot and was like, you have to listen to this. Okay. So everyone should listen.
Yeah.
But she speaks just like about a whole array of topics, but she's a massive one for the skin brain connection.
Mm.
Yeah. And basically says the same thing. Like we don't need it. Like we don't need these products that we're being sold. She basically uses nothing on her skin. And she's written for The Cut and the New York Times and all these different places about like for the New York Times, it's called This Is Your Skin on Stress. And for The Cut, it was, can you breathe your way to better skin? Because she started practicing breath work. So it's just all of these ways, like the actual tangible things you can do to de-stress, which is in the book, The Body Keeps the Score. He literally says to help trauma, do yoga. And it's like, if yoga is helping trauma, meditation and de-stressing and practicing mindfulness and breath work will help your skin because it lowers your stress levels.
Yeah.
On an actual physical level. Like it sounds so woo-woo to be like you can meditate your way to clear skin, but
no, but breath is a massive thing I've been thinking about recently as well, because my mum has gotten like very into reading about breath work and talking about breath work with me and my brother, and like the impact it has. Again, I think this is the thing where the things that can actually help us the most
we just put off.
They're so simple, yeah. But they're so hard. I think that's like the worst combination.
Every day I'm like, you need to meditate daily. And I used to sit, I bought the Headspace annual thing. And every single day at 7:45, it goes off and tells me to meditate because you're supposed to meditate in the morning, but I don't want to meditate in the morning. So then I'm like, then I just won't do it. And it's like, just take away the time thing and just do it at any point during your day when you have 10 minutes, just go and meditate. And I just will not ever do it.
And the amount that you're like, I can even feel it now as we're talking, like the amount of shallow breathing that we do, which creates like, so I saw a naturopath a few years ago. And she did iridology, which is when they print out your eye and they can see all this stuff in your eye. It's like quite incredible. And I had like a black ring around my eye. And she said, this is your nervous system. Like it is on edge. Like it should be really thin, this line. And it was like really thick. And she was like, I've seen you and heard you while you're here and you're not breathing. Like you're like going in and out really shallowly. And that you do that when you're scared. So your body thinks that you're scared about something, which can actually lead you to have anxiety because your brain's trying to rationalize why you're breathing, like you're scared of something. So it's giving you things to be anxious about to run through in your brain. And then that's making you more anxious and then you're not breathing properly, which is why like one of the biggest and again, most boring things that actually helps you with like reducing anxiety, reducing stress, getting a good night's sleep, all that stuff is like sitting and properly deep breath. Like what is it?
So
3-4-3
I copied and pasted this onto my notes as a reminder for myself, but I'll read it out for the girlies. So this breathwork woman that Jessica DeFino talked to for the cut recommends choosing a breathing pattern. Hers is 2 deep inhales into the stomach and into the chest, followed by 1 long exhale all through the mouth. And she repeats this for a minimum of 7 minutes a day.
Wow.
I'm like, not sure if that's 7 minutes in a row. Probably not. Probably like a minute and then another, right? 7 minutes in a row feels like a lot. I need to research that.
Sure, yeah.
But she says enough time to really get, oh yeah, so it must be 7 minutes at consecutively. Enough time to really get out of your head and into your body. Breathwork practitioners claim it can help stir up any emotional pain stored in the body, whether it's from middle school bullying or sexual abuse or a bad breakup, anything really, process it and let it go.
Wow.
Breathwork, ladies, and even like gratitude and mindfulness, because it puts your brain in a good thing. Like Jessica DeFino was saying that she has started practicing mindfulness and like gratitude when it comes to having acne and like actually thinking about why it is. She was just like, I even look at like why it is that I feel bad about having a pimple, and usually it's because of the fucked beauty standards that like society has put on us. So instead of feeling bad about having a pimple, thank your skin for like this, what a pimple is like your skin dealing with a problem and like the best way it knows how and getting better, you know?
Yeah.
So breathwork, ladies.
Breathwork. I love it.
We're off to breathe now. Breathe into our palomas. gorgeous.
Gorgeous, girlies.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.